Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Aleph. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna said that in the small boats of Meishon, which was a small river that only small boats could go on, one may only carry Dalad Amos because they have the status of a Carmelis. These boats were wide at the top but narrowed to a point like a canoe, and since the bottom was not four tefachim wide, its walls lose their status as legal partitions, as mechitzos, and the walls above are considered a mechitza tzluya, a suspended wall, which is not considered a legal partition. Therefore, the boat is considered a Carmelis and not a Rishus Yachid. Now, Rav Huna continues that the boat would have the status of a Rishus Yachid if the four tefachim width of the walls was within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, which would raise the base of the ship through the principle of Lavud. Alternatively, says Rav Huna, one could fill the base of the boat with reeds and willow branches until the point where the boat widens to four tefachim. Point number two, Rav Nachman challenged Rav Huna, suggesting that the principle of good achiz mechitzasa, extending the walls downward, should apply, which legally extends the walls of the boat down to the ground below so they are not legally considered suspended. Since the top of the boat's width is four tefachim wide, the principle of good achiz would extend the walls down at the width, giving the boat a status of Rishus Yachid and not a Carmelis. And point number three, Rav Safra clarifies that the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis that stated that it's permitted to carry between ships that are tied together was referring to a case where the ships have different owners, and the Mishnah is coming to teach that it's permitted to make an Erev. The Gemara brings a brisa to support Rav Safra that states that in a case of two ships tied together, their owners may make an Erev and carry between the boats. Now, if the boats were to be separated, then the Erev would be negated. But if they're once again tied together, whether inadvertently, deliberately, unwillingly, or accidentally, then the Erev is automatically reestablished and is permitted to carry between them. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav Huna said that in the small boats of Meishon, which was the small river that only small boats could go on, one may only carry four amos because they have the status of a Carmelis. Now, these boats were wide at the top, but they narrowed to a point at the bottom like a canoe, and since the bottom was not four tefachim wide, its walls lose their status as legal partitions, as mechitzas, and the walls above are considered a mechitza tzluya, a suspended wall, which is not considered a legal partition. Therefore, the boat is considered a Carmelis and not a Rishus Yachid. Now, Rav Huna continues that the boat would have the status of Rishus Yachid if the four tefachim width of the walls was within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, which would raise the base of the ship through the principle of Lavud. Alternatively, says Rav Huna, one could fill the base of the boat with reeds and willow branches until the point where the boat widens to four tefachim. Point number two, Rav Nachman challenged Rav Huna, suggesting that the principle of good achiz mechitzasa, extending the walls downward, should apply, which legally extends the walls of the boat down to the ground below so that they're not legally considered suspended. Since the top of the boat's width is four tefachim wide, the principle of good achiz would extend the walls down at that width, giving the boat a status of Rishus Yachid and not a Carmelis. And point number three, Rav Safa clarifies that the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis that stated that it's permitted to carry between ships that are tied together was referring to a case where the ships have different owners, and the Mishnah is coming to teach that it is permitted to make an Erev. The Gemara brings a brisa to support Rav Safa that states that in a case of two ships tied together, their owners may make an Erev and carry between the boats. If the boats were to be separated, then the Erev would be negated. But if they're once again tied together, whether inadvertently, deliberately, unwillingly, or accidentally, then the Erev is automatically reestablished and it's permitted to carry between them. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Kuf Aleph, and the number one suggestion was actually 101 Dalmatians. That came up a lot by a lot of people, which brought me back to my childhood. That was actually the first thing I thought about. Then we had people suggest 101 Chazaras, or a beginner Talmud class, Talmud 101. We had tattoo artists, we had a coughing fit, we had kayaking, and we had many other suggestions, but the most popular one was the cawing sound by a raven or a parrot. And I would go with the cawing sound of ravens, but I feel it's going to be difficult to use ravens a lot in the siman to work with it. So I'm going to use Kobe Melkin's suggestion from Yerushalayim, who suggested a bird caller making cawing sounds. So we're going to use Kobe's suggestion. Thank you, Kobe. Our siman is going to be Kuf Aleph, a bird caller making cawing sounds. That's going to be our siman for Kuf Aleph. Here goes. The bird caller, who could only carry his cawing raven Dalad Amos in the small boat from Meishon, failed to turn it into a Rishus Yachid by extending its walls downwards, so he made an Erev together with another boat. Once again, in slow motion. The bird caller could only carry his cawing raven bird caller and a cawing raven. That means we must be on Daf Kuf Aleph. The bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Dalad Amos in the small boat from Meishon, which reminds us, Rav Huna said that in the small boats of Meishon, which was a small river that only small boats could go on, one could only carry Thalid Amos because they have the status of a Karmelis. These boats were wide at the top but narrowed at the bottom to a point like a canoe, and since the bottom was not Fort Tvachim wide, its walls lose their status as legal partitions, as mechitzos, and the walls above are considered a mechitza teluya, a suspended wall, which is not considered a legal partition. Therefore, the boat is considered a Karmelis and not a Rishus Yachid. But Rav Huna continues that the boat would have the status of a Rishus Yachid if the Fort Tvachim width of the walls was within 3 tefachim of the bottom of the boat, which would raise the base of the ship through the principle of lavud. Alternately, says Rav Huna, one could fill the base of the boat with reeds and willow branches until the point where the boat widens to 4 tefachim. So the bird caller could only carry his calling raven Thalid Amos in the small boat from Meishan, failed to turn into Rishus Yachid by extending its walls downwards, which reminds Rav Nachman challenged Rav Huna, suggesting the principle of good achiz mechitzatza, extending the walls downwards, should apply, which legally extends the walls of the boat down to the ground below, so that they're not legally considered suspended. Since the top of the boat's width is 4 tefachim wide, the principle of good achiz would extend the walls down at the width, giving the boat a status of a Rishus Yachid and not a Karmelis. So the bird caller could only carry his cawing raven Thalid Amos in the small boat from Meishan, failed to turn it to Rishus Yachid by extending its walls downwards. So he made an Erev together with another boat. Which reminds us, Rav Safek clarifies that the Mishnah in Daf Kuf Amud Beis that stated that it's permitted to carry between ships that are tied together was referring to a case where the ships have different owners, and the Mishnah is coming to teach that it's permitted to make an Erev. The Gemara brings up Raisa to support Rav Safa that states that in a case of two ships tied together, their owners may make an Erev and carry between the boats. If the boats were to be separated, then the Erev would be negated. But if they're once again tied together, whether inadvertently, deliberately, unwillingly, or accidentally, then the Erev is automatically reestablished and is permitted to carry between them. So once again, the bird caller who could only carry his cawing raven Thalid Amos in the small boat from Meishan failed to turn into a Rishus Yachid by extending its walls downwards. So he made an Erev together with another boat. Okay, so now it's time for Four Blah Bach Hazara. Daf Tzadi Zayin. So the symbol for Tzadi Zayin is a chess master. So here goes. When the chess master, that means we're on Daf Tzadi Zayin. When the chess master got angry because he got Saras, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that Rabbi Kiva learned from the Pasuk, V'yichar af Hashem bam v'yelach. And the wrath of Hashem flared up against them, and he left. Then we learn from the word them that not only was Miriam afflicted with Saras, but Aaron was as well. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser told Rabbi Kiva that in the future he'll have to give an accounting, because if what he said was true, Rabbi Kiva revealed something negative about Aaron that the Torah concealed, and if it's not true, then he has falsely maligned him. A brace was brought that supported Rabbi Kiva's view based on the pasuk, Yifan Aaron el Miriam, he named it Saras. And Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she was afflicted with Saras. And Aaron turned can be interpreted to mean he turned away from his own Saras, which was cured first. So when the chess master got angry because he got Saras, he threw his chess pieces from Rishus HaRabim through a stuffy house into the Rishus HaRabim on the other side, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa that if someone throws an object from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and there's a Rishus HaYachid in between, the Rebbe holds him liable, while the Chachamim hold that he is Pater. Rav and Shmuel both say that Rebbe holds he's only Chayiv if the Rishus HaYachid was roofed, for we say that a house is as though it is full of articles, therefore the object is perceived as if it had come to rest there. Rashi explains that since it's both dark and stuffy, a house is regarded as though it lacks airspace and is filled to the top. So when the chess master got angry because he got Saras, he threw his chess pieces from Rishus HaRabim through a stuffy house into the Rishus HaRabim on the other side, landing 4 amas away, not 8. Which reminds us, the Gemara initially states that it is clear that if one intended to throw an object 8 amos, in Rishus HaRabim, but he actually threw it only 4 amos, then it is similar to the case where one intended to write the name Shimon, and only wrote the first two letters, Shin and Mem, where he's liable for achatas. Later the Gemara explains that they are not comparable, since in the case of writing, it's impossible to write Shimon without writing the first two letters of Shin, Mem. Thus inherent in the writer's original intent is to write the name Shem first, but in the case of throwing an object, the person that intends to throw an item 8 amos obviously does not intend it to land after the initial 4 amos. Daf Tzadiches. So the symbol Tzadiches is a clown. So here goes. The circus clown, that means we're on Daf Tzadiches. The circus clown threw his red clown nose, Thalid Amos, through 2 Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us. It was taught in a Braisa that if one throws an object from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and there's a Rishus HaYachid between them, if the object traveled Thalid Amos through the Rishus HaRabim, he's liable. If it traveled less than Thalid Amos, he's pater. The Gemara says the Tana is coming to teach that Rishuyos Mitzdarfos, 2 identical domains combined for one to be liable for Hotzah, meaning even if it flew 2 amos in one Rishus HaRabim and 2 amos in the second Rishus HaRabim. Additionally, we see from here that we don't say Kutukamasha Hunt Chadamya, that something contained in the airspace of a reshus is legally viewed as if it had come to rest, because if indeed we view it as if it had landed, the thrower would have been liable even if it traveled less than Daled Amos, because he transferred it from the reshus of Rabim into the reshus of Yachid. So the circus clown threw his red clown nose Daled Amos to two reshus of Rabims, and it ended up under the open space of a wagon, which reminds us it was said in the name of Rav that one who transfers an object Daled Amos in a roof to reshus of Rabim is pater, because a roof to reshus of Rabim does not resemble the encampment in the desert, which is where we learn out the Malach of Hotzah. The Gemara questions this ruling, since the wagons in the desert, which were used to carry the crushing, the beams, were considered roof because of the crushing, bohes on them. And Rav said in the name of Rabbi Chia that the areas beneath the wagons, between them and the area to the sides, had the status of reshus of Rabim. How could the area beneath have the status of reshus of Rabim if the wagons were roofed? So the Gemara clarifies that the area beneath the wagons, 5 amas in length, is referring to nearly 1 amah gap of open space in the middle of the wagon. When 2 stacks of crushing were placed at the front of the wagon, and 2 stacks of crushing were placed at the rear, with each stack being 1 amah in width. So the circus clown threw his red clown nose Daled Amos to 2 reshus of Rabims, and it ended up under the open space of a wagon carrying beams that were tapered at the end. Which reminds us, a braisa introduces the Malchukas Tanaim regarding the shape of the crushing. Rav Yehuda says that they were 1 amah thick below at the base, but above they gradually tapered until the tips were as thin as a finger. Based on one pasuk that states, Yutamim Arosha, they should be tamim at its top. And another pasuk regarding the waters of the Yarden that states, Tamim Nikrasu, they were cut off. Rav Nechemiah says the crushing were 1 amah thick below at the base as well as on top, based on the pasuk Yachtav. Together, Rashi explains that this word Yachtav implies that they were uniform throughout. Daf Sadi Tes. So the symbol for Sadi Tes is a cheetah. So here goes. The cheetah, that means we're on Daf Sadi Tes. The cheetah that escaped from the zoo jumped over 2 spaced-out wagons in reshus of Rabim, which reminds us. Abai said that the space between 1 agala, 1 wagon, and the agala beside it, equaled the length of 1 agala, which was 5 amas. Therefore, the total space occupied by the 2 agalas and the space between them was 15 amas. The Gemara asks, why then is it an established principle that a reshus of Rabim is 16 amas? And answers that the extra amah width on the road traveled by the agalas was where a levy would stand, so that if one of the crushing began to slide off, he could set it right. So the cheetah that escaped from the zoo jumped over 2 spaced-out wagons in reshus Rabim and landed in a thin-walled reshus Yachid, which reminds us. Rabbi Yochanan asks what the law is in a case where there's a wall in reshus Rabim that is 10 tefachim high, but not 4 tefachim wide, and it surrounds a karmelis, thereby making the karmelis a reshus Yachid. And someone standing in reshus Rabim threw an object and it landed on top of the wall. Do we say that since the wall is not 4 tefachim wide, the top of the wall is makom patur, and the person is exempt? Or do we say that since the wall made the karmelis a reshus Yachid, it's as though the enclosed area is filled to the top of the wall, making the top of the wall a mere extension of the 4 tefachim surface, so to speak, adjacent to it on the inside, and therefore the thrower is liable? Ula answered and said that if the wall forms a partition for other areas, all the more so will do it for itself as well. Therefore, the thrower would be liable for throwing it on top of the wall. So the cheetah that escaped from the zoo jumped over 2 spaced-out wagons in reshus Rabim and landed in a thin-walled reshus Yachid, kicking up dirt that landed in a pit 10 tefachim deep. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan asks what the law is in a case where someone in reshus Rabim threw dirt into a 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide pit, which has the status of reshus Yachid, and by throwing the dirt into it, he reduced the depth of the pit to less than 10 tefachim, thereby making it having less than the necessary measurement to be a reshus Yachid. Do we view it as if the earth were thrown into a reshus Yachid or not? According to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan wants to know if the negation of the pit status as a reshus Yachid at the moment the earth comes to rest in the pit exempts the thrower. The Gemara attempts to resolve Rabbi Yochanan's question, but is not successful. Dav Kuf. So the symbol for Dav Kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The curious monkey, that means we're on Dav Kuf. The curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit, which reminds us. Abai said that if there was a pit in reshus Rabim that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, meaning it's a reshus Yachid, and it's full of water, and someone threw an object into it, he's chayev. However, if it was full of produce, he is pater. The Gemara explains that the water in the pit does not nullify its mechitzas, its partitions, whereas the fruit does. And Rashi explains that in the case of the fruit, it's as if the pit is filled to its top with earth. So the curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit. When a strong wind blew it back out to sea, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that if one was standing in reshus Rabim, he threw an object within 4 amas, but it was propelled by the wind to a point beyond 4 amas, he's pater. If he threw the object beyond 4 amas, and the wind blew it back to within 4 amas, he's chayev. The Gemara asks how the thrower in the second case can be liable if the object never came to rest outside of Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yochanan answers that it rested briefly, and a braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan and states that one would be liable even if the wind held the object in midair for a moment, provided the object was within 3 tefachim of the ground, where the principle of chavud is operative. So the curious monkey threw his banana towards a pit filled with water, not fruit, when a strong wind blew it back and out to sea, where a ship was drawing water on board with a bucket. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes HaMaharim regarding how one may draw water from the sea on board a ship on Shabbos. Rav Huna said that one may extend a small rod from the ship and fill a bucket of water and bring it on board. Rav Chista and Rava Bar Rav Huna said that one may make an enclosed area for tefachim over the water and fill the bucket through that area. And the Gemara explains that according to Rav Huna, the 10 tefachim height of a carmelis at sea is measured from the floor of the sea. Therefore, the part of the sea that is above those 10 tefachim is a makom patur. It's therefore permitted to draw water from the sea into the boat, which is a rishus yachid. The rod only serves as a heker, as a reminder that it's forbidden to transfer from a carmelis to a rishus yachid. According to Rav Chizn and Rabbi Rav Huna, the 10 tefachim of a carmelis is measured from the water's surface, and therefore if one would draw water from the sea to the boat, he's bringing water from a carmelis to a rishus yachid, which is forbidden. Consequently, water needs to be drawn through a 4 tefachim wide enclosed area. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1. Which daf to learn why a rishus of rabim is 16 amos? That's on daf Tzadi Tes. Good. Number 2. Which daf to learn that the small boats of Mishnah have the status of a carmelis? That's on daf Kupov. Good. Number 3. Which daf to learn that Aaron also got saras? That's on daf Design. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a machlokas on how to draw water onto a ship? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have a machlokas regarding the shape of the crushing? That's on daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have that two ship owners can make an Erev together with their boats? That's on daf Kufalof. Good. Number 7. Which daf to learn there are 5 different hole sizes for a kli cheres have different dinim? That's on daf Tzadi Hey. Good. Number 8. Which daf to learn that the source for a hotza comes from the donations of the Mishkan? That's on daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf to learn the difference between a pit filled with water versus a pit filled with produce? That's on daf Kuf. Good. And finally, number 10. Which daf to learn the status of a thin wall of rishus of rabim? That's on daf Tzadi Tes. Great. Now we go to 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Number 1. Which daf to learn that a chasen is patur from kriyashma? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf to learn the importance of having a makam kavua? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that one should never give up hope? Afil cherev chadam unnachas al tzvaro shal adam. Al yimna atzmo min arachamim. That's on daf Yud. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.